this Sunday school session for soul winning and altar working. We ask, Lord, that your will might be done in the heart and life of every person present. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you would notice, if you are passing these around, you've got a green card that the church is going to incorporate and start using, I believe. And it says church membership and decision card. We will get into that more thoroughly. If we cannot cover it today, we will cover it next Sunday, will be the last session. And notice that this is for salvation, rededication, church membership, and very, very crucial. Now, if you'll, let's see, you've got a handout. Did anybody not get a handout, a folded over, like a bulletin type material? Okay, yes. It's got somebody dealing with somebody on the front cover. Okay, let's notice a few things in this particular lesson. And this is, if we were to put a title on this, this is Winning Souls at the Altar in Preparation. Now, when a person comes forward, you've got a laminated card that will be given out to everybody that is willing to commit and dedicate to help people at the altar at the time of invitation. Let me explain that. When somebody has made a decision, or they've raised their hand and they come forward, altar workers, at least one or two, should already be down in the front row of pews waiting for them. If you see somebody in the auditorium and you have and you're confident you know what to do, then you can go over when the invitation in process very discreetly and just let them know that I noticed that you had your hand up and I'd like to be of help to you. We want to be a help to you today. And then, so we'll get into that in just a little more detail. So when you're at the altar or at the invitation on the church service, you should always assume, that's a big word, but you should always assume that the person is lost and they're seeking the Lord. Don't try to assume, well, they're rededicated. We had a lady very, very recently here that made a decision, and then the following Sunday she came forward. And I spoke to her after. I had spoke to her before, and she came forward. But I spoke to her after that second time, and I said, do you have it settled? She said, it's completely settled in my heart. Well, you know, if a person is not saved, if they do not understand about what it means to be saved, that the fact that they're a sinner, that Christ died for their sin, and with all of that, they must come under conviction that only the Holy Spirit, through applying the Word of God, can bring in a person's life. She got under conviction, and it was obvious. And there was a gentleman, I do not know his name, but he sits about over here, and I went over to him, and I said, would you mind being an altar worker? Would you go over and help? And I pointed over, and he did. And she had at that time already come forward. So you always assume the person is lost when they come forward. Decision cards will be in clipboards, and we're going to have clipboards, a minimum of two, and they'll be in the front row. And the clipboard, the decision membership cards will be in there. We are looking at a follow-up tract that would say, with the church's name, service, and map and everything, that would say, now that you're saved, what's next? Wonderful, wonderful tract. that any new Christian can lead themselves through this after they've been saved. And it covers six major crucial points for the life of a believer. Those will be on the clipboard, as well as a pen or a pencil for the altar worker to use. Now, when you look at the paper that you've got inserted in your bulletin, not the bulletin, but the handout that we gave, do you see at the altar, one side says the altar, the other side says at the altar. Now, what you have there is a paper. It's a sheet of paper that a person would use at the altar. This is a laminated card. You've seen maybe one of those. It should be passed around so everybody can see this. The reason it's laminated is that you can take and keep it inside your Bible as an altar worker. And if you're going to commit to that, one of these will be given to you, the laminate version. And if you're not going to be an altar worker, we'd love to give them to you, but maybe, possibly, there'll be a nominal fee to cover the materials. I'm not sure on that yet. Pastor will make that decision and either be the good guy or the bad guy, one or the other. But, okay, now, at the altar, it has been given to each one of us for a reason. Number one, always assume that the person coming forward is lost. Number two, you see, it'll help you and keep you cued when you're talking to somebody. Ask them, are you coming to receive Christ? You don't say, are you coming to join the church? Are you going to rededicate your life? Are you coming to receive Christ as your Savior? Number three, if their response is unsure, then ask them, and notice this, very, very important, are you sure that you would go to heaven if you died? Now, let's see, we got this gentleman should get one of those handouts. And then for assurance, there are verses that, did you get one of those, the handouts? And you did not. Okay, Larry, can you give those out to people as they come in? Okay, all right, appreciate that. Okay. Now, on 1 John 5:11, This is interesting, and it's very, very important on chapter 5 and verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life, eternal life, and he that hath the Son of God hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you go to verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And then down to verse 13, you see you've got all three of these together. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, and that you may know that you have eternal life, and yet you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, I've added a couple of things out there. I put the last part up toward the front. But these verses will help to illuminate their heart and their mind to challenge them, are they saved? For baptism, why don't we do this? Someone look up Romans chapter 6, verse 4, and if you would, be prepared to read that aloud. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. And we'll look at these. All right, who can read Romans 6, chapter 6 and verse 4? Okay, Dana?
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism to death. And like as Christ was raised up to death by the glory of the Father,
Amen. All right. Now, when a person is coming forward, they've been saved. Maybe even they've been coming. And the Lord speaks to their heart about baptism. All right. You can start this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. Who would read that? Okay, Pastor. Amen. Now, there are three key elements or truths in that passage about baptism. And what you should do is show the new convert about the threefold picture of what baptism means. When a person, all right, I would use this approach. You know, when you got saved, when you're willing to be baptized, here's what baptism shows. It's, first of all, your identification with Christ at Calvary, that he died for you on the cross. Then when you are buried under the water, it's a picture of his burial. And when you come up out of that water, it's a picture that he arose from the grave. So it shows his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So what I ask them at that point is, so if you get baptized today, let's say today, and you're showing his death and his burial and his resurrection, who are you getting baptized for? And they may say, well, for myself. And that's true, but it's in obedience to the Lord, and it glorifies him by going into the water. And when Pastor baptizes and he's in that water with them and places them under the water, it's a picture of his burial, and then raised to walk in newness of life is a picture of his resurrection. Now, Acts 2:41 really hits it head on. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day, I am hopping all over the place. Have you ever had a day like that, that you do something like that? I do it every day, just unfortunately. But in Acts chapter 2, in verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So baptism is a prerequisite and a necessity for a person to become part of this local church, Florence Baptist Church. Then you look at membership, and this is very crucial. Number one, under number six on your paper, be sure of their doctrine. Be sure of their doctrine. Now, if as you talk to them, if you become aware of their doctrine, that their doctrine is different, for an example, if they believe that a person can be saved by being good, but they've got all the earmarks outwardly of a person being saved, and you're sure they're not, then you need to go back up to number three and begin to show them again about salvation. But if their doctrine is off, think of some false doctrines, for an example. What happens if a person comes forward and in the conversation, what I would always ask somebody is, what is your church background or affiliation if you're coming for membership? That's going to tell you a lot right there. Well, somebody says, I'm a Foursquare Gospel. All right, so out here, Foursquare Gospel is not really well circulated. Back in the Midwest and East, it is. It is the three parts of the gospel: his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And you must be baptized and speak in tongues. That's the four-square gospel. You would not want to admit them in the church because that can permeate, cause confusion, and be like cancer among God's people, especially those that are not grounded and think that they are. Then, number two, be sure of their baptism. Now, if a person comes forward and they're saved, and you believe that they're saved, they give good indication. And then you always should ask them, that is wonderful. I'm glad to hear that you were saved. You've accepted Christ. Where did you get baptized? Can you tell me a little bit about your baptism? Always ask them because they're coming for membership. Well, yes, back in, my goodness, Lincoln Park, Michigan, I went to blah, blah church, and when I came forward for membership, I accepted Christ. They preached the gospel. Praise the Lord. And I got sprinkled. Well, then you've got to take them up to Acts 2:41. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4 is excellent because it shows what the operation of baptism signifies, his death, burial, and resurrection. You cannot show that by sprinkling. Number three, very crucial, if their doctrine is different, give the completed. Now, you all, these should have been passed around just so you can take a look at it. There is not enough to keep. Anybody not get one of these, you can look at it. Don't be bashful. Just raise your hand. If you've got one in your hand, can you possibly have somebody take it over where they can look at it? Next Sunday, we will give these out permanently, but these will be in the clipboard that will help you. So at the altar, church membership and decision, you're going down, you're putting their name, their residence, the date that you're filling the card out, their mailing address if it's different than the physical, their home number, their birth date, if at all possible, and anniversary. If they're married, ask them for their husband or wife's name and the birth date of their spouse, if possible. Then children, depends what they're coming for. You can skip over that if you wish. But then it says, makes the following commitment, accepts Jesus Christ as Savior. If you lead that person to Christ, check that block off. Or desires membership in the church, then you check that off. Here's the question. Your card asks the question you need to talk to them about. How are they coming into the membership? Are they coming by statement? Are they coming by a letter from a church of like faith? Or are they coming and they want to get baptized? They're coming, they've been saved, they want to get baptized. That's how they want to come and become part of a member of this church. Then you go down, dedicates life for church-related vocation or ministry, in other words, rededicates life to Christ or other decision. Do you see the word at the bottom, the two words, very bold? It says altar worker. This is important. Make sure you fill that out, and here's the reason why. When the invitation is over and folks are getting ready to go home, the altar worker should give this completed card to the pastor. Now, with all of that done and said, if you look at number six, subpoint number three, and notice if their doctrine is different, give the completed decision card to the pastor. And then he's got all the information. He's got their address, phone number. He can make a follow-up call, a phone call, and he can call and maybe perhaps even set an appointment. Here's other decisions. People come forward and they're having difficulty. If you feel and the Lord impresses on your heart that you can help them, then offer counsel. Then what else can you do? Well, this one is never passed over. Pray with them. And then number three, be an encouragement. On the back of the card, and we'll not go into this today, if you can remember to bring these back the paper card will go over the altar itself. And there are four categories on that. Now, if you'll take your handout, the folded over, it's got the man dealing with the other one. And let's look at this now. Dealing with a person at the altar. Number three on your outline. Spiritual preparation for soul winning or being an altar worker. Number one, you ought to fill this in, the blank. A changed life. Very, very important. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So a changed life. Number two, and this is spiritual preparation. And some of this is actually a requirement. Number two, a clean life. 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Number three, this is absolutely necessary, a surrendered life. Surrendered. Number three. Now listen, and this is a popular passage, but listen to Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech thee. In other words, he is saying, I implore thee. It's a form of begging, and that's what Paul is saying. I beseech you, I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then number four, nobody can do it and be an altar worker without this, a burdened life. You must be burdened. Romans chapter 9, verse 2 and 3, Paul says that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He is wishing that he could be accursed for the Israelites, his fellow brethren, the Jewish people. Number five, a compassionate life. Boy, I'll tell you, if we don't have compassion, we don't have it. Jesus said in Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And then number six, a stirred life, S-T-I-R-R-E-D. 1 Corinthians 9:22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I make all things, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And then number seven, a persevering life, a persevering life. That means keeping on, keeping on. 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul is saying, I am persevering. I'm headed the same direction. I'm not going to change. Neither am I going to let Satan stop me from the main goal that the Lord has in my life, and that is to win people. Number eight, an enlightened life. An enlightened life. Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And then number nine, here's the punch and the power that carries everything, is a praying life. A praying life. Jeremiah 33:3, the prophet said, that the Lord said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And then number 10, finally, a spirit-filled life. And notice that's our beginning reading, Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, with all of that, next week, we are going to take, and we'll have some more handouts, but we're going to be looking at the importance and the influence of soul winning. We're going to give you actual living examples and the results of people's lives after they've been won to Christ. Some at the altar, some door to door, some meeting somebody on the street. It makes no difference. You talk to people where they are. I will say this. If you want to be a more effective soul winner and witness, start letting the Lord use you at the altar. And you'll find that in everyday life, it's a little bit easier for you to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus. Amen? And so I am just thinking out loud. Do you remember it was two Sundays ago that you spoke? Remember we talked and I asked you to talk to that young lady? And she got, was it assurance or she got it settled, didn't you? Yeah, amen. And boy, I saw a huge difference in her after that. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never. Never leave us. Okay, we've got a quarter till. And Pastor, what do you think on these laminates? What's your... Amen. Okay. Okay, then next Sunday, let's plan on that. In Sunday school, we'll give them out. Maybe we might even want to have them available. Wouldn't it be great somebody gets saved and then they're given something like this even actually after? Brother Chuck? Okay. Now, let me, and Chuck, that's a, here, Chuck said, what do you do if somebody comes forward and you talk to them about the Lord and you're using the decision card and everything and they don't want to give it to you because of privacy? Okay, I'm going to answer it this way, but then I'll answer a second, what if? I've been a pastor since 74. Not one time. And in a large church in Anchorage, and not one time, though, have I ever had somebody ever say, well, I don't want to give that information out now. I've never had that happen. However, if... And a lot of that, Brother Chuck, would make a difference on our approach to the person, okay? What I suggest is this. I'd like to ask you a few questions for our church record. And this is private, and a lot of times that's in my vocabulary, and it will not be given out to people outside the church or any other direction. That will help to set them free, and you'd be telling them the truth. But you go out and you fill the card out. If they say, I just don't want to give it out, and they get defiant about it, the chances are they're not ready for you to talk to them anyway. Yeah. Sir? Yeah. Yeah. So, amen. How was Nancy? Amen.